Can we sing that song again? I think we could just go home, couldn't we? This sermon and series and 800 more sermons and hundreds of more series can be found at www.lifegatechurch.com. You can find probably anything you'd want to study at www.lifegatechurch.com. And also, if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, right in two words, LifeGate Church. And then you'll find us on Facebook. I want to say, as soon as I'm done talking, we'll do baptism. So I'll call you up when I'm ready. So just be coming. And then Doug is going to baptize some people. So we'll try to recall who they are. But I know that it's your granddaughter and your great-granddaughter. Is that correct? Where'd he go? He's not in here. Okay, that's correct. Okay, so he's gonna baptize those. That's fine. That's great. So just come, and if you didn't, you forgot or whatever, you want to go home wet, that's fine with us. We'll attempt to find you a towel. But we've had people to do that before, and that's just perfectly okay with us. Now, we've taken the last 3 weeks, and we've investigated baptism in water. And the feedback that I have received has been really, really good. I think it's been a very meaningful study for all of us. We'll have our second baptism service today, and it'll be the second one in 3 weeks. I don't think we've ever done that before in the history of our church, had two baptisms that closely together. So that's awesome to me. That's good. But what we really should do is do it every Sunday. We should have it every. That would be New Testament. Instead of asking you to raise your hand or come pray a prayer with me, it would be great to say if anybody accepted the word of the Lord or accepted the message of Jesus, then come down and let me baptize you. And that would be the best way of doing it. But maybe one day that'll be that way. But what I want to do today is I want to pick it up from where we left off last time, where we talked about the great commission that Jesus gave us. So let's start there. Let's begin there in Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to read verses 18 through 20. And I'm going to break this up a little bit as I read through it, just to point out some things. And then we'll extract the main things that I want to talk about. So in Matthew 28, 18, it says this. Then Jesus came to them, that would be his disciples, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. How much authority? All authority. Where has it been given to him? In heaven and in earth. In the spiritual dimension and in the natural dimension. That's what we're talking about here. And all, he's got it all. So just hold on to that because I'm going to hammer that in just a minute. He says, therefore, because I've got all this authority, I'm giving you authority, go. You got authority to go. Go and make disciples. Now, disciples, he didn't say go make Christians. What did he say? Go make disciples. That's the correct term for us. Christians were called Christians first at Antioch, and it was a slur name. It wasn't a name of honor. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus calls us. Go and make disciples of all nations, ethnos, ethnic groups. Every nation has ethnic groups, and we should invade them all and make disciples. He says, and all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular or plural? Singular or plural? Singular. I know I hear you guys on the front row. You got it. Back rows, singular or plural? Okay, singular. It's not names of the Father and of the Son. And in fact, while you're looking at it, it's not in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit. It is in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's one name. One name. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. So I'm just showing you while it's up on the screen. And teaching them. Now here's the part that I'm really going to work on today. And teaching them to obey. Teaching them to do what? To obey. I'm not teaching you the word, but I'm teaching you to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Baptism is a command of the Lord. I'm teaching you to obey that command in this series. That's what we're talking about. Now, what we did last time is we took the whole time and we talked about the name aspect of it. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And no place in the scriptures is there anybody ever baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Everyone is always baptized in the name of Jesus or Jesus Christ or Jesus the Lord. Now, when we baptize somebody in the name of Jesus, we are baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I'm taking a moment or two here to tell you is if you were not here last week when I went through all of that, when I baptize people in just a little while, I'm baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the name Jesus Christ. So if you weren't familiar with that, I just wanted you to know what we're doing, and that's biblical, and you can search it out. You can search it out as long as you want to on the scriptures. But what I want to do now is I want to extract out from this passage some things that are very relevant to what we're doing. And before we conclude our series, just make sure that we point these things out. And the first point that I really want to make is, again, how much authority does Jesus have? He's got all authority. And where does he have this authority? In heaven and in earth, in the natural and in the spiritual. Okay. Does that leave anything left? Is there any place that he doesn't have authority? So Jesus then has absolute authority, right? Jesus has supreme authority. Jesus has ultimate authority. Jesus has unresisted authority. I mean, well, it is resisted, but he has ultimate authority in heaven, in the spiritual dimension, and on earth. So if that is true, if Jesus has all the authority in heaven and in earth, in the spiritual dimension and the natural dimension, how much authority does that leave the devil? Now, I hammer this every once in a while because you just got to keep it in perspective biblically. See, the devil only has the authority that Jesus gives him. Am I right? Now, we did that series not long ago, It's Not Right, and we looked at Job, and we saw that all that the devil and Satan could do to Job is what the Lord allowed him to do to Satan, do to Job. That's it. That's all he can do. He can do no more than the Lord allows him to because the Lord gives authority. Now, how about me and how about you? How much authority do we have? Is it the same answer? Only what he allows us to have? Is that what we kind of... Do you agree with that? You have the authority that he said, since I've got this authority, now you go. I'm giving you authority to go. Right? So we only have the authority that the Lord gives us to accomplish what we're to accomplish in this life. So we have authority, but it's only what he gives us to have. Now we think we like that. We think we like it that the devil really doesn't have this authority except the Lord gives it to him. And you know, we think we like that and that the Lord has all authority, but we really don't. And let me explain to you what I'm trying to communicate. For example, in Russia with Putin, who gave Putin authority? Hello? I want you to think. Isn't that sad? But he had to have gotten his authority from the Lord. How about Iran? Ahmad Ahmadinejad. I mean, what about that? Does he get his? Now, what I'm wanting you to see is the Lord will use your enemies to get your attention. He will. And I think he's getting the United States' attention. And I don't know what your political preferences are. I don't, you know, I think we should all be involved. I think we should all vote. I think we should all have an opinion and as best we can help lead our nation biblically and according to the commandments of the Lord. But you know what? Bottom line is when we do vote, the bottom line is the Lord has the authority. And the Lord sets one up and takes one down. Am I right? So I want you to understand that when we're talking about him having all authority, he's doing something in the earth today. And I just want you to hammer on that. And what that does is it causes us to come to a place where concerning even water baptism, we ask questions. For example, say you've been saved a long time. You've been in church a long time. You've been serving the Lord. You love the Lord, but you've never been water baptized. Why should you be water baptized now? Here's the reason. Because the Lord said so. That's the bottom line. He's got all authority. He said to do it. He's the command. But Albert, it's the blood that saves, right? It's the blood that washes us from our sin. It's the blood, right? Well, that's what the preachers have told you. But there's more to it than that. And the bottom line is that it's irrelevant anyway because the Lord said so. You're baptized because he said to do it. But that's just archaic. I mean, you know, that's primitive. That's what cavemen would do, dunk people in water like that. Hasn't the church gone past archaic activities? And, you know, aren't we past those things? I don't know what you think archaic is, but I do know that the Lord said to do it. We baptize because the Lord said so. But Calvert, it's a little embarrassing. You know, I get my hair wet, messed up, and maybe my clothes get all wet, and, you know, I come out of there all wet, and I look bad, and my makeup, and the Lord said so. I don't know what to tell you. Right? So the reason I baptize people, I immerse them. The reason that you are to be baptized, I am to be baptized, that all Christ followers, all disciples are to be baptized, is because the Lord said so. That's the bottom line. No matter what we think, that's why we do it. Now, it is a command. It is a command. It really is. But what I have learned is that most people are as I was when I came to the kingdom of God and I accepted the Lord. When I came into the kingdom, I wanted to be baptized. There was a desire in me. Now, I never wanted that before I came to the Lord. I didn't want that at all. I thought it was dumb. I mean, why, you know? but once you come to the Lord and you understand His love for you, you want to obey Him. And there's something about the Spirit that comes within us. It draws us or drives us even to being baptized in water. We love Him. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so it's an act of love, baptism is. If you love the Lord, you're just going to do it because He said so. That's it. It's a commandment. We don't try to get it all. We have some understanding perhaps now that we never had before, but it's because the Lord really said so. Well, Delbert, if that's true, then why are there people in church that have been in church all their lives that have never really been biblically baptized in water? Why is that? I'm going to talk to you about that. I'm going to give you five reasons shortly as to why this is. And I want you to see this. But what I want to first do is look at a scripture at the very first baptism that ever happened in church. It was on the day of Pentecost. They were out in the streets of Jerusalem after they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were preaching. Now, in this passage that I'm talking about, Peter has finished preaching. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. It says, those who accepted his message. Those that did what? Accepted his message. Were baptized. None were left out. Those who accepted the message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That day. Now, a couple of things I really want to draw out of here. See, in the New Testament, there is just no concept of an unbaptized disciple. You won't find one. If you've accepted the message that Jesus is Lord and the resurrection, you were baptized. That's it. There is a unique link, a very, very intricate link between salvation and being baptized in water. Inseparable. If you were saved, you were baptized. It was an act of obedience. It's what you did. And not only that do we see, but it says that 3,000 were added to the church that day. That day. In other words, not only do we baptize one another, not only are we to be baptized, but it's supposed to be immediate. That's why I said earlier when we began, wouldn't it be great if after every sermon, after every time I would say, who accepted the word of the Lord, who accepted the message and wants to be baptized, and some people come and baptize immediately. So we're to be baptized and we're to be baptized immediately. Okay, Delbert, so I see that. Now, but why do people avoid or even dodge sometimes being baptized? Well, I want to talk to you. I want to give you five suggestions that I think kind of sum up the reasons why people avoid or dodge water baptism. And the first one is this one. It's just an act of obedience. I mean, it's just a reason that we don't. It's because, number one, we are ill-learned. We're ill-taught. We haven't been taught correctly. We've been under a ministry that, and I want to use this term, that ignored it, that caused us to be ignorant, ignorant, like ignore it, is what that means. So when we haven't been taught correctly, we don't know its necessity. We don't know its importance. We don't know what it really means and what it displays. So you just simply weren't taught correctly. Now, we have eliminated that here. If you've been here the last 3 weeks, you know what it is, and you know its importance. So we need to learn what is the importance of water baptism. So that's the first reason. The second reason is pride. Just pride. People have pride. Maybe you've been in church a long time and never submitted to water baptism, and you don't want anybody to know that you've never been water baptized in water. You're prideful, and there's other reasons for pride. It messes up your hair. It gets your clothes wet. There's a lot of pride in church. So we've got to conquer the pride if we want to be baptized in water. And the third reason is you're just indifferent. You know, it's not like you're against being water baptized. It just never made it onto your day planner. You know, it never became a priority to you. It was never of importance to you. You had other things that you needed to do or wanted to do, and you just shoved being baptized in water off to the side. Say, I'll do it one day. No, you need to do it immediately, number one, but you need to get it done. You see, it's important that you understand that you can't be indifferent concerning a commandment. You don't really have an option with the commandment, right? So that's the first three, and those are kind of simple. But then we get into number four, and we get more serious. And number four, there's a defiance that people have. They just resist the Word of God. They resist the commandment. You know, it's like, who do you think you are telling me to be baptized in water, that I must be baptized, immersed in water? Who do you think you are? Well, Jesus said, go and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. I'm just doing my job. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at him if you want to get mad at somebody. But see, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tell you that. And there's a defiance that people have sometimes about just obeying the commandment of the Lord. And then there's another thing, an undercurrent that goes along with defiant. Usually people who are defiant like that are struggling in other areas of life as well, like in sin, like in addictions. So if that's a thing that you're struggling with, you're just defiant, there's probably maybe some other areas in your life that you need help in, and I want to help you today. I want you to understand that. I'm going to touch it a little bit later on, that thing doesn't have to control you. You don't have to be defiant. So we'll talk about that shortly. And then the fifth one is the most serious. The fifth reason that people are not baptized is they're just still lost. They may be doing the church thing, maybe attending church, but never have received and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Never have accepted the message. And they're just still lost. They're doing church stuff. Maybe have done it for years and years and years. But they have never submitted their lives to Jesus Christ. So those five things kind of cover the reasons that people are not baptized in water. So maybe that's you, or maybe you know someone who's not been. So maybe now you can take that and help them. But no matter what the reason is, Jesus said so. Jesus said to do it. And that's going to be the bottom line for whatever reasons we come up with, or whatever excuses we come up with. You're supposed to be, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a disciple, you're supposed to be baptized in water. There was an old drunk. He was staggering along the riverside one day, and he came up on a baptism service. A church was having baptism at the river. So he just wades out into the water, and he stands out there beside the minister. And the preacher looks at him and he says, "Mister, are you ready to find Jesus?" The old drunk said, "I sure am, preacher." So he takes him and he baptizes him, puts him down, brings him back up again. Water flies everywhere. He said, "Well, did you find Jesus?" "No, preacher, I didn't find him." So the preacher grabs him again and shoves him back down again. Holds him a little longer, brings him back up, says, "Did you find Jesus, sir?" "No, preacher, I didn't find him. I didn't find him. Now the preacher's getting aggravated, you know, a little. He thinks this old drunk's just pulling his chain. So he says, "Okay." So gruffly he takes him and he slams him down in the water, holds him down about 30 seconds, brings him back up. Water flies everywhere. "Oh, did you find Jesus that time?" "No, preacher, I didn't." Are you sure this is where he fell in?" Now, a lot of times we do the church thing, but we come up still looking for Jesus. People have been baptized, but they just came back up looking for Jesus. In the movie Forrest Gump, Lieutenant Dan asked Forrest, "Forrest, did you find Jesus?" Forrest said, "Lieutenant Dan, I didn't know he was lost." And we get it messed up like that. You see, we think we're looking for Jesus. No. Your salvation isn't you adding Jesus to your life. We've said this several times. Your salvation isn't you looking for Jesus. What salvation is Jesus adding you to his death, his burial, and his resurrection. All displayed through the solemn act of water baptism. You will not fulfill all righteousness if you don't become water baptized. Now, I'm going to show you this in just a second. But I want us to understand that. Are there blessings that go along with baptism? Sure there are. Yes, there are. Anytime you are obedient to the Word of God, there is a blessing that comes along with it. With every act of obedience, there is a blessing. And that's the first blessing that I want to talk about. The first thing that you will be blessed doing and concerning water baptism is just the blessing of obedience. It's like, what do you need? Where do you need blessed? The commandment of the Lord is to bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse. And the Lord says, if you'll do that, if you'll bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, I'll pour you out a blessing. Now, he doesn't tell us what the blessing is. Because you don't need blessed like I need blessed. But you need a blessing. See? He doesn't say, if you give $100, I'll give you $1,000. That's not the blessing. But there's a blessing that you need. What blessing do you need? Could it be hemmed up and hidden because you haven't been baptized in water properly? So the Bible tells us a story. It's about a guy named Naaman. And I want to talk about him because he had trouble with obedience. But when he finally obeyed, he got his blessing. So we read about him in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He, Naaman, was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him, the Lord, through Naaman, the Lord had given victory to Aram. Now, what's interesting here, and you can take that down just a second. What's interesting here is that Aram is an enemy of Israel. Aram is an enemy of the people of God. But yet the Lord used Naaman as an enemy to get the people of God's attention. Like I told you a while ago, God will use your enemy to get your attention. So he says here he was given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now Naaman had everything a man would want. He had power, authority. He had wealth. He was valiant. He was well known. He had a great family. As you read about his life in this chapter, it sounds as though he had it all going on, but he had leprosy. I find this so true in a lot of Christians' life or a lot of disciples' life. You know, they got it looking good on the outside. They got a good family. They're doing well financially. But there's something that's eating away at them. There's something they can't quite get free from. There's something that's gnawing at them. It's leprous. Naaman found out that there was a prophet in Samaria. And he found out that if he could find this prophet in Samaria, that this prophet could heal him of his leprosy. So he goes searching for him. And over a series of events, he finally locates Elisha, the prophet. So he comes to Elisha's house, and he comes up to the outside there. Elisha does not even go out to see Naaman. He says, just tell him to go to the Jordan River and wash himself 7 times. Go to the Jordan River and wash himself 7 times. Well, here is what Naaman responded to that in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. It says, but Naaman went away angry. And if you read on down into there, you find out that he worked himself into a rage. Two reasons. One, this is the first one. He said, I thought that he would surely come out to me. I mean, I'm Naaman. I'm valiant. I am somebody. And he doesn't even come out to me. I thought surely he would come out to me and stand and call in the name of his Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the spot. We all have a spot. Wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. And he says, my leprosy. Don't do that. Don't claim. Don't claim your spot. You know, don't claim your sickness. Don't claim your problem. Don't claim your addiction. Rebuke it. But he claimed it. He says, surely he'd come out and cure me of my leprosy. And it goes on. He gets all angry. He works himself up in a rage because he did not want to go to the nasty, filthy, muddy Jordan River. He says, surely he could have told me to go to a clean river in Damascus. Why the Jordan River? I'm not going. I'm not doing it. And he works himself up in a rage. And so people that care about him come to him and says, Father Naaman, that's just a term of honor. Father Naaman, if he'd have asked you to done some great thing, you'd have done it. Why won't you do this? And he went away in a rage, but finally they convinced him to go to the Jordan River. And he finally went. And he went in, and here's what happened. In 2 Kings 5:14, says, so he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Why did he receive his healing? Was it the Jordan River that had the miraculous power? No, it was his obedience. See, there is always a blessing attached to every act of obedience. Every time you obey a command of the Lord, there is a direct associated with it blessing that you will have. Where do you need your blessing? What is gnawing at you? What is eating at you? Could it possibly be because you have dodged and resisted being baptized in water? Or maybe there's another command that the Lord has that you need to obey. But there's a blessing. There's a blessing for you in baptism in water. And the second reason that I see where we can have a blessing is there's a cleansing of sin. Now I understand the blood and all those and that thing, but there's an act too that the water baptism in water plays also in the cleansing you of sins. And I want to show you this. We read about it in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Let me read this with some energy here. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Now, what this is about is this guy named Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He was persecuting the church. He was a bad dude. He was going everywhere incarcerating Christ followers and disciples. And he consented to the stoning of Stephen. He was bad. He was a mean guy. But the Lord intercepted him on the road to Damascus one day. And he got his attention by blinding him. And then he sent him into Damascus and told him to go and wait until he sent somebody to come talk to him. Well, the Lord then sent Ananias, one of the disciples that was in Damascus, to the street called Straight to go find Saul of Tarsus. He goes in and he sent him there. The Lord sent Ananias there to baptize Saul. He goes in and he preaches to him about Jesus, about the resurrection, about the Lord. And he tells him about that, and Saul accepts the message. So then Ananias says, well, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting for? Get up. Get baptized. Wash away your sins in the name of the Lord. So I want you to see that there is something that happens beyond the blood. I understand repentance, but you need the blood of Christ. I understand the blood and repentance, but you need something more. You need baptism in water to complete the act of washing away your sins. Now, let me read this to you as well. In Colossians, we read a similar thing, and we've been hammering on this particular thought, not this scripture at all, but this particular thought. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 says this, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Now, he explains what he has just said here in this verse, in the next sentence. He says, when you were dead in your sins. See, what baptism depicts and what it shows and displays is you're dead in your sins. Now, you die there. You can't die again. See, when you're raised, you can't die again. You die here. So when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, something happens down here that circumcises your heart. Something happens down here that cuts away the sinful nature. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Something beyond the blood, something beyond repentance happens in the water of baptism. It goes beyond that. And what it is this. Let me see if I can explain it to you. When you're baptized, when you die to sin. In other words, it's circumcised, it's cut. Your heart experiences a circumcision. the sinful nature is cut away. Now, what does that mean? Well, not only are you forgiven for sin, but what it means is you're cut away. You don't have to sin anymore. See, Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 says, sin no longer has dominion over you. Will you sin after you've been baptized? Yeah. But do you have to? No. Because it doesn't have dominion over you. It doesn't control you. You have addictions? We have addictions. But once this happens, that should be cut free. You might keep it, but you're keeping it. It's not keeping you. See, now, there's a difference. There's a difference. So this is what happens. And that's a blessing, folks. That's a blessing when you can get cut free from an addiction. That's a blessing. So yeah, there's the blood. There is repentance. But there's something more. There's a fulfillment of righteousness that's going to take place. So I want to talk about the third blessing that we have as well. The third blessing that I want to talk about is, for heaven is opened. Go ahead and put that up for me. Heaven is opened. You have an open heaven. You experience a freshness of the Spirit of God as it comes on you. You hear the word of the Lord clearer than ever. And you're acknowledged as a child of God. All this happens in baptism. Let me show you what happened to Jesus. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. This is Jesus being baptized. And at this moment where we pick up the reading, he is under the water. He is immersed. Here's what it says in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, put under, he went up out of the water at that moment. Now, I need you to say that back to me on the count of three. Everybody say, at that moment. Say it like you mean it, okay? So, one, two, three. At. What happened at that moment? Watch what all happens at that moment when you come up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. That's what happens when we go into water baptism. Let's see, when you're baptized correctly, when it really happens, you have an open heaven. Your prayers get through. Now, but not only do you have better access to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they have better access to you. They can get inside of your heart and give you more direction and more leading. You have an open heaven. And then you have a fresh anointing. The Spirit of God comes on us in a fresh and a new and an anointed way. And it enlightens you. And by him we're led and guided. That's his job, is to lead us, guide us, give us wisdom, help us through life. So we have the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're able to do things that we have never been able to do. There's an anointing and a power that comes with it. But also we hear God. We hear God, the voice from heaven. We hear him as we've never heard him before. We hear him better and clearer. But also, what we also know is this, is that not only do we hear him, but he acknowledges us. This, look at in the water, that's my child, that's my son, that's my daughter. And I am so happy with you because you're being baptized. I am so happy. I am well pleased with you. So that's the third reason. We have an open heaven. And then the fourth one, and we'll wind up with this one. The fourth reason that we're baptized is because it's a fulfillment of righteousness. What does that mean? Well, the repentance does so much and the blood does so much, but there's a fulfillment of righteousness that takes place here. They can take place no other place. So let me show you this one. Jesus has come to, this actually happened that I'm about to tell you about before what happened that I just told you about. Jesus has come into the baptism of John the Baptist, and he's walked out into the water, and this is what happens. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. But John tried to deter him. John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? In other words, if there's anyone who never needed to repent, if there's anyone who never needed to be water baptized, it's you. He's sinless. There was nothing to repent of. But he comes and he says this. So why did Jesus come to John's to be baptized? Why? Well, he tells us. He tells us the next verse. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper. Listen, I want you to know it's proper to be baptized in water. It is proper for us to do this. Here's why. To fulfill all righteousness. The repentance has a part. The blood has a part. But water baptism fulfills all righteousness. You cannot fulfill all righteousness without water baptism. It fulfills all righteousness. Then John said, okay. I got it. That's fine. So those are the four blessings that we have time to talk about. There would be more, but that's all we got time to talk about, and that's sufficient. Now, what about you? Have you fulfilled all righteousness? Have you? You see, we need to do this so that we can refill all righteousness. And no matter what excuses you come up with or what questions you ask, the bottom line is Jesus said to do it. There's something he wants you to do so you can be blessed. Jesus said so. See, it's a command. He said, go and make disciples. Baptize. That's the first thing I want you to do. When you make a disciple, baptize them. And then teach them. And teach them to obey all the things, everything that I've commanded you. It's a command. And then, you know what? If we have received the message, if we have accepted the message, we should have been baptized already. It should have happened immediately. But we can still fix it, correct? We can still be baptized. We understand now. No matter what reason we had in previous times, we understand now. This is important. So whatever reason that we've come up with, whatever thing that we've used, if we have accepted the message, then we should have been baptized immediately. And then you know, whatever things that you have said, whether you were ill-taught or whether you're prideful or whether you just, you know, don't really care, never came up on your day planner or because you're just rebellious, you know, you've been rebellious and defiant and or because you've lost, we can fix all of that. We can fix all of that with water baptism. Baptism in water. And then there's the blessings that God wants to pour upon you. There's the blessings of obedience. What is gnawing at you? What is eating at you like leprosy? See, that can be remedied, could be remedied with water baptism. What about the forgiveness of sins? What's controlling you? See, you don't have to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you. There can be a circumcision that takes place in your heart. You can be cut free from that. What about open heaven? Your prayers getting answered? See, maybe that's the reason. How about the Spirit of God in your life? Is He active? Do you feel the presence of the Lord? Do you hear the voice of the Lord? Are you been acknowledged as a child of God? All that can take place right there. That's a blessing of God for us. How about fulfilling all righteousness? See, there's a fulfillment that takes place here that can't take place any other place. So, what are you waiting for? Get up! Be baptized! Wash away your sins in the name of the Lord. Let's pray.